have some sympathy for Judas, don't you? Why was this wasted? Why not give them, sell it and give the money to the poor? I mean, isn't that Jesus' message after all? I fall into that quite often, actually. I think some of you know that when I went to Italy, my son Sam was there, and you know, he was into archaeology and stuff and all of these things, and he was in Rome, and I went and visited him in Rome. We went to St. Peter's, and it was just absolutely stunning and beautiful. And at the same time, I was like, yeah, but how did they build this thing, right? Selling indulgences. Like every empire, always making the poor pay for the big things, the beautiful things, right? And so, and there I am, carping about this, like Judas. And Sam is like, Dad, can't you just look at it and really revel in it? Isn't this beautiful? I mean, this is awesome. The idea was that they built this thing because they wanted to show the transcendence of God. When you walk into this place, you just feel it. And I'm like, yeah, but Dad, cut it out, right? Yeah, I get that. So here's Mary, and she is receiving Jesus. They're having a dinner for him, and she, poor Mary, is the one who sees what nobody else is seeing. She is seeing that Jesus is on his way to his own death. Mary knows death. Her brother had just died, right? And Jesus had come and raised him from the dead. And everybody is probably just really excited about that. Very excited about it. Except Mary. She knows. And so she takes some of that ointment that she had used, bought for her brother, leftover perhaps, and does this prophetic thing. Comes and anoints the feet of Jesus. You don't anoint the feet of the living. You anoint the feet of the dead. That's what this is. And it's a prophetic sign that Jesus, too, is on his way to his own death. But, you know, there's Judas, and he says, why has this been wasted? And Jesus' response is, leave her alone. She has bought this for my burial. You always have the poor with you. You will not always have me. So, what do we make of that? Unfortunately, what we don't have to make much of it because it's already made something up in Deuteronomy. So, again, this is right from your Bibles. And everybody in the room would have known this. Deuteronomy 15:11, since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, since you will always have the poor with you, God says, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. Open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. Because there's always going to be poor, it's not like, oh, don't worry about the poor. It's okay, there's always going to be poor. Everything you do is going to be, none of it's going to help. No, instead, there's always going to be poor, and you're always going to give to the poor and needy. That's how it works. That's God's commandment. And everybody that hears Jesus understands that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about just ignore the poor, don't worry about them. He's not saying, let's work up some kind of great Christian piety where we are loving Jesus but not loving the poor. That's not the point. Point is that Mary has seen where Jesus is going and is making a prophetic act, watching, and she is paying attention to Jesus. And I would argue that it is only in paying attention to Jesus that we ever get around to paying attention to the poor. Here's Mary and Debbie Thomas, who wrote a beautiful article. She says, in this act, Mary actually is tending to the poor right in front of her. who was born, and there was no place for him in the inn. Jesus, who walked around, who had no place to lay his head. Jesus, who was always in among the poor, who was poor. Jesus, who will be buried in a borrowed tomb. Mary is already tending to the poor in Jesus. And in seeing the poor in Jesus, we are invited to see Jesus always in the poor. So, these are, it's always a hard lesson to learn. And you know me, you know I can be reading a text all week and then something happens and I don't see it until afterwards. So it was this week. Some of you know, probably everybody knows, that we had this big march in Chelan, and it was a hands-off march, you know, in protest and in solidarity with people and immigrants and the poor and all of that. And, well, I had two funerals to do yesterday to be a part of, right? So we were down in Wenatchee first, and then we came back, and 2 o'clock was when the march was, 2 o'clock was when this other service was, and I had committed to be in at that service at 2 o'clock. And here's what happened. I got there, and there was all these people, and they were like, well, didn't you want to go to the march? You know, didn't you want to have to be there? And I said, well, yeah, kind of wanted to be there, but I committed to this, and this is really important, this service. And they said, yeah, but, and I said, you know what? There's going to be other services. I mean, sorry, there's going to be other protests. There's going to be other actions. There's going to be other ways that I will be able to tend to those kinds of things. This is what I'm doing right now. And what I was doing right now was tending to the poor soul who lost her partner, and to all of the friends of that man who were impoverished for the loss of their loved one. Right in front of me. Not abstractly, you know, taking care of all of the poor in the world by going on a march, but tending to one group of people right there, here and now, in front of me. I think that's a really important thing that Mary is doing. She's tending to the poor one right in front of her, giving him what it is that he needs. And so I was telling everybody, no, there'll be other chances for me to give to the poor, to do whatever I need to do out there in the world. But today I'm here. Did I connect that to the text this morning? Not until this morning. Isn't that beautiful, though? There's like these stories that just, they live in us, and they're we just unconsciously follow them. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And Jesus gives us these opportunities. It's like, oh yeah, here's an opportunity for you to, I don't know, maybe he just does that to preachers, huh? Yeah. You need a story to preach on? Here. Here's one right here in front of you. Oh, you didn't see it. Oh well, I'll wake you up tomorrow. Don't worry. So, yeah, but that's what I think is that this incredible extravagance that Mary offers for this beloved Jesus who is on his way to his death, right? And it's so intimate. And anybody that has ever accompanied anybody in their dying knows how intimate it is to be with someone who is dying. I mean, and then I'm talking about emotionally, I'm talking about physically, right? You're right in Mary. And that's just the nature of it. And there's Mary. Right there. Pouring ointment on Jesus and wiping his ointment with her hair. This is it goes beyond extravagant, doesn't it? It actually goes to scandalous. It's scandalous love. There's no way in the world that a single woman should ever touch a single man in this culture, in public, especially front of everybody. She should have forever let her hair down. Not done. And yet there she is, pouring herself out with this extravagant love. Was it necessary for her to do that? That's not a rhetorical question. Was it really necessary for her? No, it wasn't. But that kind of extravagant beauty is never, ever useful or needed. You don't do it out of usefulness, right? Alexander Schmemann has a beautiful text. He says, beauty, extravagance is never necessary, functional, or useful. And when expecting someone whom we love, we put a beautiful tablecloth on the table and decorate it with candles and flowers. We do all of this not out of necessity, but out of love. We do it out of love. And we do it out of love for the one who is right in front of us, for the poor, impoverished, vulnerable person standing before us. And that's a beautiful call. And I think it is a prophetic calling as well. Because if we can't tend to the poor person right in front of us, we will never, ever be able to tend to the poor who we talk so much about.